You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
An Aboriginal community fears its culture may be lost as dry conditions and low river flows threaten the Darling River's future. Heavy fighting and civilian casualties are being reported on the second day of a Turkish offensive into Kurdish-held areas of northern Syria. An Australian tennis star, Ashley Barty, has been honoured with the Dawn Award. This is NITV Radio News and I'm Sharka Bechová. An Aboriginal community fears its culture may be lost as dry conditions and low river flows threaten the Darling River's future. Their fear surfaces at a recent corroboree, a dance ceremony in Wilcannia, which was once thriving Murray-Darling River port. In recent years, drought and climate change have hurt the river as well as mass irrigation, with millions of dying fish as a result of poor water quality and dryness. Bakinjiman Michael Smaka-Weeman says as water levels in the Darling River continue to drop, there are fears native animals that hold spiritual significance will disappear from the region.
When you lose one of your animal totems, you're losing your identity. So it's a big, our totems play a big part in our life of who we are and all our dreaming stories as well. So it's another story altogether. But they play a very important role in our culture. And our songlines.
The Murray-Darling Basin is the country's largest river system, converting an area of more than 1 million square kilometres, or 14% of mainland Australia, running from Queensland into New South Wales, and then Australian Capital Territory, then out through Victoria and South Australia. An independent inquiry into the water-sharing plan of the Barwon-Darling River found provisions allowing for increased access to low flows has caused poor ecological and social outcomes downstream of Bourke. Earlier this year, the National Resources Commission made 17 recommendations, including stricter regulations on when irrigators can pump from the river. The CEO of Mallee District Aboriginal Services, Harold Turdoff-Kilby, will face court in December on four charges, including two counts of rape. As reported by the Sunraysia Daily, Mr. Kilby has been charged for two counts of sexual intercourse without consent and two counts of assault with act of indecency. A trial is to be held at the New South Wales District Court at Griffith on December 2nd and is expected to take 4 to 5 days. The Queensland government has announced a ministerial forum on multicultural affairs. The plan was unveiled in the Federation of Ethnic Communities Councils of Australia's conference in Tasmania this week. The biannual conference brings together organisations representing the country's ever-increasing culturally and linguistically diverse communities or CULT groups. Queensland Minister of Multicultural Affairs Stirling Hinchcliffe announced a new forum.
This means that for the first time, my ministerial colleagues, including those of you here today, will gather to discuss the nation's most pressing multicultural issues. We know we have much in common in this area. What we need is the opportunity to create a national overlay.
While the Prime Minister in his message has described Australia as the most successful multicultural society in the world, others, like social justice activist Hannah Asafiri, says there is work to do.
Once upon a time, we looked at immigrants and those from multicultural backgrounds as, you know, a people who benefited and grew and progressed this society. And that discourse has changed, and some of those trends are alarming in that we now see them as burdens.
All the states have shown a keen interest in the forum and in playing host for any future events. United Nations Human Rights Commissioner Michelle Bachelet is calling on Australian government to rethink its offshore detention policy and treatment of refugees and asylum seekers. Ms. Bachelet has told SBS the government should abandon attempts to repeal the so-called Medvac Bill. The legislation provides doctors with increased input into emergency medical transfers of asylum seekers from Papua New Guinea and Nauru to Australia. The former Chilean president urged Australian parliamentarians to challenge Prime Minister Scott Morrison to shift from a policy centred on migration to protection.
I know that now it's much more different, that many times Australia in the resettlement processes uses more the concept of migration than protection. And that's one thing that for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, important that Australia will provide asylum or resettlement to people that are more in need, the people who really need to be protected.
Let's have a look overseas now. Heavy fighting and civilian casualties are being reported on the second day of a Turkish offensive into Kurdish-held areas of northern Syria. Turkey says dozens of Kurdish militants have been killed, while the Kurds report several civilian deaths. Tens of thousands of people are reported to be fleeing their homes. As the operation continues, Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has threatened the European Union, which has denounced Turkey's offensive. Speaking to European party officials in Ankara, President Erdogan warned the EU to refrain from calling Turkey's incursion into Syria an invasion.
Hey, Avrupa Birliği, kendinize gelin. Bak yine söyleyeyim.
Hey, European Union. If you attempt to label our operations as an invasion, then it's simple. We'll open our borders and send 3.6 million refugees your way.
3,6 milyon mülteciyi sizlere göndeririz.
Germany's justice minister says the shooting at a synagogue in the city of Halle was a far-right terror attack. The 27-year-old suspect, Sevan Bayat, faces 2 counts of murder and 9 counts of attempted murder. Germany's chief prosecutor, Peter Frank, says the accused had 4 kilograms of explosives in his car and wanted to carry out a massacre on Judaism's holiest day, Yom Kippur.
Was wir gestern erlebt haben, war Terror. Nach unseren Erkenntnissen.
What we experienced yesterday was terror. According to our findings, the accused, Stefan B., set himself the goal yesterday of carrying out a massacre in the Jewish community of Hala in the synagogue.
In sports, a super typhoon threatens to wreak havoc on the Rugby World Cup in Japan, with England's pool game against France and the All Blacks clash with Italy cancelled on Saturday. Typhoon Hagibis is expected to be the biggest this year and is the first time in the tournament's 32-year history that matches have been abandoned. Australia's match against Georgia today is scheduled before the typhoon is expected to hit and is likely to go ahead. Tournament head Alan Giplin says the decision was not made lightly, but was based on all the expert advice available.
We've been intensively working through a range of detailed contingency options in partnership with the host cities, the venues and the teams to try and ensure that any impacted matches had a fair chance of being played. However, the risks are just too challenging to enable us to deliver a fair and consistent contingency approach for all teams and participants, and importantly, to provide confidence in the safety of spectators. All fans with tickets to those cancelled matches will receive a full refund.
The public has been advised not to go outside on Saturday, and a thorough assessment of the venues will take place after the typhoon has passed before a decision is made on Sunday's matches. In football, Sukeru's coach Graham Arnold says there is a room for improvement, but overall he is pleased with the team's 5-0 win against Nepal. Australia had all the possession and territory, creating countless chances, but struggled to finish in Canberra against the team ranked 161 in the world. Arnold admitted his side should have scored more goals. The team now travels to Taiwan for its encounter with Chinese Taipei on Tuesday. Arnold says he's likely to make significant changes to the starting side to build more depth in his squad.
I feel really comfortable in this job now, more than ever, because of the depth that we've created. And it's, as I said, I can make, and I probably will make, 7 or 8 changes for the Taipei game.
Australian tennis star Ashleigh Barty has been honoured with the Dawn Award, which is presented each year to the sportsperson who most inspires the nation. The French Open champion hopes to end the year on a high with the world number one tennis ranking. No Australian woman has achieved that feat since Margaret Court in 1973. Let's have a look at the weather today. Broome, sunny and tops of 35. Perth, possible late shower with 24 degrees Celsius. Adelaide, sunny and 22. Melbourne, partly cloudy and 19. Hobart, a shower or two with the tops of 14. Canberra, shower or two, 16 degrees Celsius. Sydney, showers and 18. Brisbane, showers and possible storm with a 23 degrees Celsius temperature. Cairns, partly cloudy, tops of 30. Townsville, possible shower and 29 degrees Celsius. Darwin, mostly sunny, 34. And Alice Springs, sunny with the tops of 35.
sbs.com.au